Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News has learned that former President Trump will stand trial on May 20th of next year on charges that he mishandled classified material. A court filing says the trial will take place at federal court in Fort Pierce, Florida.
I left my heart.
Singing legend Tony Bennett died this morning at his home in New York City. Bennett's career spanned some 70 years. He had been living with Alzheimer's since 2016. He survived by his wife, two sons, two daughters, and nine grandchildren. Tony Bennett was 96. The State Department is confirming that two high-level officials have been caught up in a massive cyber attack. The U.S. ambassador to China and the assistant secretary for East Asia had their email breached by Chinese hackers between May and mid-June, but it's thought that no classified material was taken. And another day of record-breaking triple-digit heat in western and southern states, 100 million Americans are under heat alerts. This is ABC News. At the White House today, President Biden talks artificial intelligence with executives from seven major tech companies, including Amazon, Google, Meta, and OpenAI. The administration says those companies will commit to more testing and sharing information about the risks of the technology. Washington Commanders fans are celebrating the most expensive sale in U.S. pro sports history. That NFL team has gone for more than $6 billion. While the NFL has sanctioned the former owner.
As NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell welcomed Josh Harris as the new owner of the Washington Commanders.
Josh is going to be a great addition to the NFL and his ownership group.
The NFL's business with Dan Snyder, who sold the team, is not over. An internal report found under Snyder, who had owned the team since 1999, Washington improperly concealed finances and that Snyder inappropriately touched a former team cheerleader. He denied wrongdoing, but will pay a $60 million settlement to the league.
That's ABC's Brian Clark. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
For the talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what Green Bay needs to know. Green Bay police are investigating the death of a two-year-old child. Authorities were called to Green Bay's east side about 3:30 yesterday afternoon to the 600 block of South Irwin Avenue. They arrived to find the child unconscious. First responders tried to perform CPR but were unsuccessful. The child was taken to the hospital and pronounced dead. Anyone that might have information on the case is being asked to contact the Green Bay Police Department. For this weekend, Oshkosh is the busiest airport in the world. EAA celebrates its 70th with hundreds of thousands of its closest friends from all over the world. It officially starts Monday, but try telling that to the people already there. The event has been in Oshkosh since 1970 after moving from Rockford, Illinois. While you're checking out the skies, look for Mino and the Mayor from the Talk of Green Bay Morning Show, broadcasting live, starting at 6 a.m. Have fun. Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
Living happily ever after isn't always a reality. If you're over 50 and are considering divorce, attorney Andrea Gage with the Everson Law Firm can provide the guidance you need. Andrea focuses on silver divorces, the kind that get more complicated over time and present unique challenges. A family, multiple properties, significant assets. Andrea and the team at Everson Law have the experience to protect your interests. Call Everson Law to set up an appointment with Andrea today. It's never too late to be happy. Everson Law, 920-435-3734.
Hey, this is Petty Pincher Bob, and I love a good rummage sale. If you love them too, you can list your Saturday rummage sale right here on this radio station. Your 15-second Saturday rummage sale ad runs Friday all day and Saturday morning for only $50 per week. If you would like to list your Saturday rummage sale, call us now, 715-629-9501. The deadline for each week is Wednesday at noon. Operators are standing by now. Please have a valid credit card ready to go. See ya!
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Starting at 6 a.m., the Mayor and Mino.
Then at 8, the Earl Ingram Show.
10 to 12,
As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, the Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flint Direct. 4 to 6, the Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, the Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
What if I just, instead of giving out the talk and text line, just started giving up Robin Boss's number all the time?
He needs to hear from us. He needs to know.
It's 844-96-PARTY. What is it?
Write it down. 608-237-9163. Call now.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Mattinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Because I joined last night and I'm hopeful. Wow. I'm hopeful that it is more fun than Twitter has been lately, because Twitter has not been that fun lately.
I do wish it weren't those two.
I know. It's a weird thing to be cheering for Mark Zuckerberg right now.
I'm choosing between the Joker and the Penguin. This is not a winning solution.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Mattinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Who's the most fun to drink with of the Republican lawmakers? Todd also confirmed that Robin Voss has virtually no sense of humor.
You can always let us know if you are drinking with lawmakers at 844-967-2789.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Should the Supreme Court adopt a code of conduct? And if yes, who should create it? 844-967-2789. What do you think? I mean...
Everybody else has them.
Everybody else has them. The lower courts has them. And not because, and this is not necessarily because you think of what's been happening lately and the ProPublica reports and everything, but just in general, even if it was a liberal-dominated court, because there has been cases of liberal justices, including Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Oh, yeah.
RIP. And even recently... Sotomayor.
Taking little gifties.
And would it restore the integrity of the court and public opinion if there was more transparency, if there was clarity? And if you agree with that, who should create it? Should they create it themselves? Should retired justices make it? Should Congress make it? Congress is attempting to make it right now. I don't think it's going to go very far, but the Democratic-led Senate Judiciary Committee advanced legislation yesterday to require the Supreme Court to set up a code of conduct, tighten financial disclosures, and bolster recusal requirements for justices. And so, again, would love to hear from you on your thoughts on what's to be done with the lack of code of ethics that is written and transparent and clear. 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. But yesterday, the vote on the Supreme Court Ethics Recusal and Transparency Act was, not shockingly, 11-10 along party lines, and with Republicans adamantly opposing. And... The bill would basically give the court 180 days to adopt and publish a code of conduct And allow the public to submit ethics complaints that randomly selected panels of lower court judges would review. It would establish new rules for disclosure of gifts and travel, and it would impose recusal rules pertaining to gifts, income, and other potential conflicts. Now, there's obviously in this partisan environment, the Republicans are basically saying absolutely not.
Yeah.
Because in this, even though it came out of committee, they would need Democrats would need 9 more Republicans to sign on to overcome the filibuster. And even if they did that, this would have to get through the House.
Oh, that'll never happen.
So this is, I think, what did I see as the there was a great quote from what I was reading about this. Senator John Kennedy, Republican from Louisiana, predicted the bill would not become law. This thing's dead as fried chicken on the Senate floor, he said, and it's as dead as fried chicken in the House. I didn't know if that's a Louisiana saying, but okay.
nice accent attempt there. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Dave from Mequon, good morning, Dave. What do you think?
Hey, good morning. I agree with both of you. I think the more transparency, the better. I do think that it should apply to all facets of our government. I mean, if you look at Congress and all the, kind of like shady, stock end of things and, kind of like little tips and things, you got that going on. And as far as Sotomayor, I didn't realize she almost made almost $4 million on the books that, that she had her... the people working for, pushing the universities to buy these books and what have you. And that's fine as long as it's declared. I mean, but I think it's important, though, to your point, that we have that out in the open, because a lot of people in Congress and they're extremely wealthy. They're in the 1%.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the amount of percentage of the people in Congress and in the Senate, they're in the 1%. It's like way overkill. And there's a reason for that. And it's because there's a lot of what I would call, things that are not reported that are, happening. You know, Tom in L.A. always calls, we got to get money out of politics. And I agree with him. But if we're not going to do that, then we need to really see the full scope of what the heck is going on in our government, top to bottom.
Totally. I actually totally agree, Dave. Thanks so much for the call.
Thanks, Dave.
Because I think there's a really great op-ed / interview with a former judge named Jeremy Fogel, who is the executive director of Berkeley Judicial Institute, and he was a California state judge for a long time. In the Washington Post, and I was reading it this morning as I kind of was trying to, tangle with where am I on this?
Sure.
And, he says along the lines of something like, it's not that he thinks this court is unethical, but it's the fact that in this, this was the quote. He said, you had an institution that was very highly respected, the most highly respected institution of government. And now those numbers have just been dropping like a rock. And I think it's a combination of polarizing social issues that are being decided by the court because Congress is not able to act in that area, and social media. So you have a lot more light shined on the court, perhaps, than there's ever been before. When you have this kind of polarized political environment and you don't have transparent rules, which they don't have, then what people do is say, oh, well, Justice X or Justice Y voted the way he or she did because they were flying in people's private airplanes or people bought their books. And I think that's really unfortunate because I think it makes people think that justices don't have any ethical integrity. They need more transparency, more clarity, a common set of rules and procedures. As long as they don't, they are going to have people who are going to question. And I think that's basically what's happened, right?
It's
are the cases that have been coming from the courts that have such monumental consequences on so many people, and any iota of impropriety has the people who are on the other side of their decisions saying it makes it very easy for them to say, well, you got paid off.
Exactly. You just make yourself look worse.
And so it's not even like a punitive thing. And I guess, you know, that's where it becomes like, is Congress the right people to sign this, like to actually impose this or not? But it's like, even for your own, for the sake of your own entity, government entity, don't you want the public to trust you?
Or do they just not care? They don't care. It's like, hey, we're here. We're here for, you know, we're here for a lifetime term. Too bad.
Too bad.
Too bad. So sad.
We're just here. 844-967-2789. Should the Supreme Court have a code of conduct? And if so, who should write it? Which body should write it? Should they write it themselves? And just as long as it's clear, that's enough. Is it from Congress? 844-967-2789.
I think the prospect of allowing them to write their own code of ethics is hilarious. I really do. That does. Let's let felons write their own codes for their paroles. I just, you have to have some kind of an independent body to make those decisions. Yeah, we'll make our own rules about us, and we love us, and we're great.
But also, I mean, not that I'm defending them because I don't know what they would come up with. But if the good faith of to do this is to improve their status, improve public opinion on them, if they came up with a total BS set of the code of like BS code of conduct, they'd still get pushback and it wouldn't actually help their cause. And so I do ultimately think, as much as, you know, it's easy to characterize or like make these people into caricatures of like how good or bad they are, ultimately, like, I do think they have some ethics and integrity. Jane's not so sure.
That's because you're such a nice, kind, hopeful person. Text from the 541. Get a group of 102 individuals not employed by any state or federal agency to review existing codes and create new ones. Each governor can appoint one person. Mayor of the capital city appoints the second for each state plus D.C. Or how about a single code of conduct for all federal employees? Contract, legislative, judicial, executive, drawing for a federal paycheck. If your representative senator wants that for the other party but not for themselves, what could they be hiding? And Bill from Oconomowoc is coming up. Bill, we got about 2 minutes left. What do you want to say?
Real quick. We can't let criminals run criminals. Now, the Supreme Court, I don't know if I call it criminal, but boy, it's siding that way. They're taking bribes. They're taking money. And your text that you mentioned, civilian review board by civilians, that's balanced. In other words, you need 50-50. You need both sides' opinion to write the rules of conduct. And the first rule of conduct would be you can't be under suspicion for any criminal activity or any charges that are pending that voids you from ever running for office for your life. We have to have non-criminals involved in government. We have too many criminals in government, and they get so far as to run their own kangaroo court. Jim Jordan, perfect example, outstanding subpoena. So anyhow, thanks for letting me rant, and you guys have a great weekend.
You have a great weekend, Bill.
And you can call and rant, Bill.
Anytime. We will always take your call.
844-967-2789.
Kangaroo court. I feel like that's something that I have to bring back and use more. It's a good term.
It is a good term.
But we would love to hear from you. Should the Supreme Court adopt a code of conduct? And if so, which body should be in charge of writing it and being the oversight of it? 844-967-2789. We have a couple of comments on the live stream that we'll read when we come back. We'll get to your text and your calls right after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
In other words. I love you.
Summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
The Todd Alba Show.
I've been pretty rough on the Joint Finance Committee. I know you're going to give bipartisan praise that you're going to raise the pay for district attorneys and public defenders. You don't get an attaboy for finally saying, we finally heard people cry uncle enough times. You either govern all the time or not once a decade when it's suddenly convenient. So,
but I think we have to at least give people hope once in a while that there is something happening to Madison that is a little bit on the good side.
The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. A blend of clouds and sun this afternoon with a slight chance for scattered storms. Highs level off around 82. Winds out of the north, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. Tonight, lows around 58. Chance for scattered thunderstorms again tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 82, partly cloudy. Low 80s Sunday with a chance for scattered storms. Mid 80s, sunshine mixed with clouds at times Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 74.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Town Call.
On WGBW.
It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. Do-wah, 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 do-wah.
No, it don't mean a thing. All you gotta do is swing.
Well, welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I'm Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And we are talking about a code of conduct for the Supreme Court, whether or not they should have one. And I think a lot of people in the abstract think that they should.
I think a lot of people assumed that they already did.
Yeah. I think when it gets to the partisan nature of the rulings that have been coming down, there is a protective nature over what you're attacking. And if you're attacking the conservative justices versus the concept in general that every justice should apply, the same rule should apply to everyone.
Yes, all of them. Liberal, conservative, whatever.
But I would say, so the problem becomes, if we can all agree that they should have one, who should actually write it? And the Senate Democrats are taking charge or have taken charge and passed their bill on this through committee, the Supreme Court Ethics Recusal and Transparency Act.
Oh, that just flows right off the...
Well, it doesn't have a great acronym, like the the Dairy Pride Act or the CURD Act.
Right.
But, you know, I think we can probably guess this is fairly DOA, considering the hurdles it would have to... the bipartisan hurdles it would have to go through, and the left and right are very much not on the same side right now. But it still feels like, for the sake of the court and their legitimacy, they got to do something, right?
I think for the ones who have been there for a long time, they really think they're above it all. They do.
And it's interesting, in that same op-ed that I said from Washington Post, that was an interview with Jeremy Fogel, he had this to say about the lower courts, and I thought this was interesting. And it's also interesting, I think, when he talked specifically or mentioned Kagan, who came up through the lower courts. But he said, if you're a lower court judge in the federal system, or if you're a state court judge at any level, including the Supreme Courts in the states, you have rules you have to follow, and those rules actually cause people to feel restricted in the things they can and cannot do. And people complain about it. And he talks about how he had it when he was in the 1980s, and he used to teach ethics classes and to new judges. And they said, really, I can't support my friend Charlie for the school board. I can't go to this event. And he said, what happens to the lower court judges on every level, including in the federal courts, is that they learn to live with those limitations. And there is a perception among them that the justices don't feel the same constraints. There's a widespread perception that they don't feel those constraints. I want to be clear. I don't think the justices are unethical. I think the justices need to make a statement that the ethics are important. Because he said, I mean, because he was a judge for so long, and that he said, he's like, it's not that, like, I was never asked because everyone knew that I couldn't say yes in those lower courts as far as, like, flying on people's private jets. Like, I was never asked to go do these things. Because it was very clear of what the limitations were.
Right.
And so it's like, if there was limitations on the Supreme Court, would they just not be asked? Because I don't think that, like, it's like you can't just live in a bubble. Like, those nine people can't just live in isolation. But if there's no line in the sand, can't you always point to, well, look who you're hanging out with?
Well, and I mean, Harlan Crowe has been helping out Clarence Thomas for decades.
Yeah. Well, maybe basically since he got in the court.
Pretty much. And again, I just think there is no attitude for change among those nine. Life is good, baby. Life is good. Why would I screw up this gig?
Because you don't think that they're called to, by the time you get to the Supreme Court, you don't think they're called to by some kind of higher ethical standard or integrity. You think that they're actually just like the lowest among us as far as their...
They're still humans.
I know, but think about how many humans you know who have a code of ethics and they're on their own of what they will or will not do without payment.
But they're not getting offered to go on $500,000 cruises to Tahiti from their, you know, somebody they're doing business with. I don't think that they're superior human beings, even though the name says supreme.
I don't think they're superior human beings, but I also don't think they're the lowest among us. And I know plenty of people who have a lot of integrity who would say no without, like, who would say no because of just what their morals are.
But again, you are a kind, hopeful, optimistic person.
But so you're saying that I am the exception and that the fact that, like, my assumption of other people and that there's lots of good people out there is the exception and not the rule.
Yes.
Okay.
Tragically.
We'll agree to disagree.
Oh, that's fine. I wish I could be more like you. I do. I wish I could believe more. I just, at this age, I just don't.
I mean, it just goes back to what it was this week. We were talking about Hanlon's razor and the never attribute to malice, which can adequately be explained by stupidity.
Stupidity, yeah.
So I don't know. It was also interesting to round out this topic because when we come back from the break, Dominic Salvia from the Devil's Advocates is going to be here for a roundup of the week. But oh God, where is it? Now I have to find it. But basically, you know. Once again, in the same way that we talk about bipartisan bills that actually get passed that never get any attention, as a reminder, in this court right now, only 9% of the court's 57 cases this term came down to a 6-3 ideological split. 45% of the court's decisions were unanimous.
Wow.
16% were decided by a majority coalition of three liberal justices joined by Republican-appointed justices. And this one, Justice Brett Kavanaugh sided with Democratic-appointed Elena Kagan more than he did with Clarence Thomas, an 81% to 61%.
Wow.
So this is not like every case that's coming out is just 6-3 and that everything's one-sided. I think there is more gray, per usual, than them just trying to get away with whatever they want to get away with. But we can... agree to disagree, Jane.
That works for me.
All right. When we come back, Dom Salvia will be here. And he's going to tell us what the best, the worst, and the weirdest of this week were. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Do
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 AM, The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. On WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Morgan Norwood. A date's now set for former President Donald Trump to stand trial on charges he mishandled classified documents. A court filing shows it'll be May 20th of next year at federal court in Fort Pierce, Florida. Trump still faces a possible indictment after receiving a target letter in the investigation into his role on January 6th.
Sources tell ABC News that in that target letter, three federal crimes were mentioned as possible charges against Trump. Conspiracy to commit an offense against or to defraud the United States, obstruction of an official proceeding, and conspiracy to deprive people of rights. That's a civil rights statute that the Justice Department manual for prosecutors says, quote, should be considered when addressing schemes to thwart voting in federal elections.
ABC's Terry Moran. The State Department confirming two high-level officials, the U.S. ambassador to China and the assistant secretary for East Asia, had their email breached by Chinese hackers, but no classified material was believed to be stolen. This is ABC News.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know. Part of a Senate bill has a local conservation group concerned about PFAS. The Marinette Peshtigo-based SOH2O, which stands for Save Our Water, would like to see language removed from Republican-introduced Senate Bill 312. The group hosted a press conference in Green Bay on Wednesday with local residents, hoping to pressure lawmakers into amending the bill. They say the bill will weaken the DNR's ability to hold big corporations accountable for forever chemical runoff after spills. SOH2O member and Marinette City Councilman Doug Oitzinger explains.
Well, it invites some ambiguity in the DNR's authority to enforce what's known as the spills law. Anything like that is going to cause polluters to challenge whether the DNR does have that authority and invite litigation.
Marinette County has some of the worst PFAS contamination in the state. Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
Living happily ever after isn't always a reality. If you're over 50 and are considering divorce, attorney Andrea Gage with the Everson Law Firm can provide the guidance you need. Andrea focuses on silver divorces, the kind that get more complicated over time and present unique challenges. A family, multiple properties, significant assets. Andrea and the team at Everson Law have the experience to protect your interests. Call Everson Law to set up an appointment with Andrea today. It's never too late to be happy. Everson Law, 920-435-3734.
Attention, Wisconsin veterans.
Hello, I'm Tony Evers, the governor of Wisconsin. If you are a veteran struggling to pay for rent, utilities, or other life-sustaining services, I want you to know that the Veterans Rental Assistance Program is here to help. You have already made a most noble sacrifice. You shouldn't have to continue doing so. We are here to support you. The Veterans Rental Assistance Program was created by and for people living in Wisconsin, with benefit approvals being issued to veterans in just days, not months. It's never easy to ask for assistance, but rest assured, we're here to help. You've always been there for us. We want you to know that we're here for you. Call 833-WISBRAP. That's 833-947-8727. Or visit VRAPWI.com. On behalf of the state of Wisconsin, thank you.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Saturday dance, heard they crowded the floor, couldn't bear it without you, don't get around much anymore.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry, she is Jane Madnair, and it is time for our Friday Civic Media crossover with another host on the Civic Media Network. And this week, we are welcoming in studio Dominic Salvia, one of the devils, one half of the devil's advocates, is here
the
in person,
the better half.
I think, yeah, we'll say that. We'll go with that. Twist our arm.
Sure. Kristen and Jen, great to see you both. Thank you for the invite. I appreciate it. So it's so much fun when we get together. But can I chime in on the last conversation just a moment?
Oh, we were just talking about?
Yeah,
the Supreme ethics? Court. Yeah.
So as I was driving, I was listening to hear what you had going on. And to me, the question is, why should the Supreme Court not adopt the current federal judiciary ethics code?
Yeah.
That's the only question. You know what I'm saying? Hey, everyone else has it. You agree that everyone else should have it. What is it about you that you don't think you should have the same thing? And just let's hear the answer to that.
Because they haven't, as far as I know, they have not answered that yet.
Because they think they're supreme.
They think they're supreme. Well, but they're that's not supremes. Really an answer. Like, what is it about the current federal judiciary ethics, you know, limitations that applies to everybody else on the states? And, you know, like, everyone has their own thing. What is it about you? What is it about the Supreme Court that thinks beyond that you're supreme? Of course, that's a very general response. But, like, detail, what is it? I mean, if you think it's okay to accept $500,000 trips, well, then to me, why are you not accepting bags of cash? I mean, what is the limitation? If that's okay, then there is zero limitation.
But it's also interesting that, like, where was the decision when, like, the code of ethics for the rest of all of the lower courts, but they're like, we're not going to do it for them. And was the, like, kind of lofty ideological reason, like, well, they're above, like, course, because they are the Supreme Court.
Right.
Like, but not because they themselves are saying it, but because that was the assumption of, I don't know, because I don't even know the history of when the code of ethics for everyone else got in, like, put into place, and who decided that much.
And whatever that is, and we should know these things. We don't. There's lots of things to know.
Lots of things to not,
But why, if that would be the case, why not follow that same process? Whatever it was. You know what I'm saying? We have codes of ethics for everything else, and there's reasons for it, and there were processes and how they got there. You could just use the same processes and reasoning and apply it to the Supreme Court.
I agree.
Because if it doesn't need to be applied to the Supreme Court, then why does it need to be applied to and enforced on lower courts?
Yeah. Nice.
I'm just asking questions here. You know what I'm saying?
Just asking questions. Just asking questions.
Yeah. Yeah, you know who I'm talking about.
And many people are saying, but anyway.
All right. Well,
all right, so thank you for that.
Yes. No, it's great to get your opinion on it. I'm sure you guys have talked about this a fair amount on Devil's Advocates, which you can listen to anytime across the Civic Media Network, or any day of the week, I should say, between 4 and 6 p.m., so I'm excited to hear this. What's been so fun about this segment since we started it in June, so this is like our sixth week of doing it, is asking each of our colleagues when they come in the best, worst, and weirdest of the week and the range of the interpretation of stories that come in. And so I'm very excited to see what you have come up with, Dom. So what was the best story of the week,
a lot of pressure, Kristen. You know, I didn't get the homework assignment until this morning.
I was a little late.
All right. So the best. To me, of course, at the Devil's Advocates, Crudy and I talk about the politics. We're always into the politics. Well, you know, go off into other areas occasionally, but we always come back to politics. And for me, the best story of the day was Donald Trump himself revealing that he had received a target letter from Jack Smith, yep, and the DOJ for his role in the insurrection on January 6th, and the freak out that occurred after that to me is the most outstanding story of the week.
Well, was it different than it has been? Because I feel like this has been part of the playbook with the other indictments. He's the one who announces that he's been indicted. He's the one who riles up people who are upset that he's been indicted. And then
he fundraises.
And that's exactly what I was going to say.
So it's like, was this any different? Because I have to be totally honest, and I know it's important, and Jane and I have talked about this. You guys talk about this all the time with Trump. And like for me with this show, because I try to find things that have like a new angle or like you can say something new about it with new information. And the Trump stuff, and I'm not saying it's not important, just feels like a hamster wheel.
Same thing over and over and over.
It's like, what new question am I going to ask the audience that is going to elicit any thought-provoking, different opinion? Because we just keep doing this until something's going to be finally settled. So, sure. For you this week, was this different than it's been?
It was, because specifically the January 6th insurrection charge. This has been a big focal point for us. I mean, we witnessed the attempt to overthrow the government, right? And there's been very little with the short of the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers and those that got caught up in the moment and a few real estate agents
the
and
plebeians.
A couple of politicians and some former Marines. The upper echelon of that plot has not really been flushed out, right?
Yeah.
So I think there's progress there. And that's the encouraging part to me, because I mean, this has been a couple of years now, you know what I'm saying? And lots of other people have been prosecuted. Hell, they're still picking up some of the rioters, now. There's still people out there. So, yes, the consistency, Trump's going to cry. Trump is Trump. Trump's going to be Trump. The reaction that the mega Republicans are going to react as the mega Republicans react. But when the topics change from the documents case, the security, that's a big deal too. And now we're finally getting this addressed. I mean, this should have happened a year ago, at a minimum. So it's relieving to know that this is starting
to
flow
forward.
So you're right in the sense it feels like deja vu. It's like Groundhog's Day, but that is because the Republicans react the same every single time. Oh, this is weaponization. Talk about weaponization of the government. Well, what did Donald Trump do?
Mm-hmm.
He turned the DOJ. He went after Lisa Strzok and Page. The lovers. I mean, he tried to use the IRS to do audits on folks. I mean, so he knows about the weaponization of government. He actually encouraged it. So when they come out and say, hey, the liberal FBI, you know what I'm saying? There's a bunch of hippies over at the FBI. Are you kidding me? why are they persecuting Trump? Because Trump keeps breaking the law.
Yeah.
And I would say if this was Obama, if this were Clinton, sure. Oh, yes, absolutely. I'm very consistent in what I want to see as far as, blind justice being pursued. And so, obviously, to me, the Republicans and the GOP, it's not now mega. There is no party of Lincoln anymore. To see their continued fealty to this, and they get lower and lower and lower. I mean, the party of personal responsibility, fiscal responsibility. Yeah, come on. Not at all. Family values,
Small government.
Limited government, right? Let's talk about government forced birthing, who does that? Who's in for that? Well, it's the megas. So when we see Donald Trump freaking out, and remember, on Sunday, he tweeted out, I don't know if you remember this, but he on his Truthy Social.
I was going to say, did he tweet it out or was it on Truthy Social?
It was on Truthy Social, and he had to delete it and re-socially it because he talked about referencing an Insurrection Act instead of the Espionage Act. So he knew on Sunday, and he waited a couple of days to get their story out and da-da-da-da-da. So and it's very similar to his reaction on the documents case as well. That's encouraging. I'm loving that part of it. It's comedy and tragedy. You know what I'm saying? Because, wow, what a crap show. And these guys are idiots, and this is awesome to see this go down. But, of course, this is our government. This is us. This is a reflection of us. I mean, this is... We get the government we deserve, and we overran our own capital. We as a country, because the megas believed in this big lie and this continued conspiracy. And let me throw another one out there, if I may. Dana Nessel, the AG from Michigan, stepping up and charging 16 fraudulent electors. Josh Cole. that's also
he's been
to
pretty
me.
Quiet this week.
Yeah, he has been.
He's been pretty quiet this week.
Again, further because we talk about these individual parts of the bigger piece. And taken alone individually, whatever. But no, this was a plan. This was a conspiracy to, prevent the peaceful transfer of power to keep a guy who lost in power. I don't know what is more detrimental to a representative federal republic, however you want to describe this country, than someone who lost trying to use the forces of their own government to stay in power. I mean, that seems to me like, King George kind of stuff.
Our guest is Dominic Salvia from Devil's Advocates. You can catch them every weekday from 4 to 6 p.m. And I just wanted to throw in, you were mentioning the documents case. Judge Eileen Cannon did schedule the trial to begin in May of next year, May 2024.
Yeah. Which is maybe a good segue, because what is your worst story of the week, Dom?
Well, that just came out today, and that's pretty bad. I'd like to see, obviously, a more speedy trial. I think the country deserves that. Hell, Trump deserves that. So I'm anxious to see how the government reacts to this May of next year trial, because that means anything that happens will, you know, will conclude after the election. There's other cases, which is good news, but you know, people should know. You know what we should know as voting citizens. You know who's on the ballot and what they're accused of and what the deal is, and having a trial prior to that, present the evidence to a jury, you know, to the American people, let us decide. Because right now nobody knows. They don't know. I mean, a lot of Republicans would say, "Oh, no big deal, no big deal," and Biden this and Hillary that and the server and like what if we don't know? But what if all of a sudden there's a money transfer to Deutsche Bank to one of Trump's corporations, or you know, or there's documentation they gave information on Khashoggi to the Saudis, and you know, Jared got $2 billion. What is there a paper trail for any? Any of the information, any of the document stuff. We don't know any of that stuff. We don't know what we don't know. So the fact that there's enough evidence to bring these charges, and this is not by Biden, this is not by Jack Smith, this is by a jury, a grand jury. And many of those people in the grand jury were Trumpsters. I mean, this is from Florida, man. You know what I mean? And this is in his area. So that to me is good. I mean, even Eileen Cannell, I'm not a fan. If that goes through, I'm still confident that the government has a strong case. And if you're able to get through, regardless of the timeline, with a Trump-appointed judge in a Trump county that leans red with a bunch of Trump supporters on the jury, and he's still found guilty, how are you going to spin that to be a, well, it was a witch hunt? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I'm sure there's some people out there.
Well, they'll still say it.
Oh, for sure.
They could say it. Doesn't mean it's
but
true.
But, yeah, that is something to because we have a very late primary, and that May 24th is even after what our primary will be for the Republican Republican prior, because ours is always in the early April, right?
I think so.
Yeah. All right. With the 3 minutes that we have left, Dom, what was the weirdest story of the
week? Oh, man. Okay. I'll let me go with the worst. Okay. That was the worst. I got two, and they both involve.
You got 3 minutes.
Okay,
then I'm cutting
you
off.
I got it. MTG, Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Oh, yes.
All right. The worst moment, the Hunter Biden junk pics in a congressional hearing.
Yeah.
Totally unnecessary. Terrible. Terrible. The weirdest thing, Marjorie Taylor Greene. Next week, this very same committee, I believe, Comer's committee, is going to investigate and have witnesses on Wednesday, I believe, of the unidentified aerial phenomena. You know, we used to call them UFOs, but it's totally different now.
Totally different.
Yeah, yeah. So don't talk about UFOs. This is wackadoodle. It's UAPs. Marjorie Taylor Greene, she thinks they might be angels, and she did some research into it.
I did not hear this one.
Yeah. So there's that.
There's that.
There's that. That's pretty weird.
That is pretty weird. The UFO thing, I think, is I love that it's now come full circle where there's people who think that there's a reason behind the government now talking more about unidentified objects and UFOs to distract. Like, well, this is just the distraction now. But like before, for so long, the government was keeping this a secret.
Right.
But now that they actually want to tell us more information about it, they're like, well, that's not real. They're just doing that to distract us from the real things.
Right,
like
right.
The real investigations that should be going on. It's like, oh, geez. All right. Well, that was a very good roundup.
Oh, well, why, thank you.
You did your homework well. Sorry to have sprung it on you so late,
that's
Tom.
Okay. I had to dig deep and study hard.
All right. Well, when we come back, now we'll really put you to the test, because we have an actual quiz that we do every week with headlines from the week. It's multiple choice. It's you versus Jane.
Uh-oh.
You each get three questions, and then there's one quick answer. We'll be back in just a minute. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
I might have gone, but what for? It's awfully different without you. Don't get around much anymore.
Protect your family from radon. Radon causes lung cancer, and half the homes in Green Bay test high. Request a free test kit at newradon.com. That's newradon.com.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Woo-hoo!
Starting at 6 a.m., the Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, the Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, the Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, the Devil's Advocates with Dom and Cruz. And 6 to 7, the Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago. And that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms this afternoon. Otherwise, sunshine mixed with clouds at times. High of 82, northerly winds, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Slight chance for scattered thunderstorms. Tonight, lows around 58, partly cloudy. Partly cloudy skies. Tomorrow, chance for scattered storms. Highs around 82. Low 80s, Sunday, with a chance for scattered storms. Mid 80s, partly cloudy skies. Monday, for Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 74.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct.
On WGBW.
Drink, you said. It's quarter to 3. There's no one in the place except you and me.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And we are here with Dom Salvia of the Devil's Advocates, who is our guest for our Civic Media crossover on Fridays. And do you know why Jane keeps playing Tony Bennett songs?
I know he passed away. I don't know.
96.
96. That's quite the run.
That's a hell of a run, man.
And I just read that he's like one of the only artists in history to have hits from the 50s all the way into the aughts.
Wow.
That's incredible. Yeah, because he was performing well up until the end.
Oh, yeah.
His special that he did with Lady Gaga was, what, 2 years ago? 3 years ago?
Well, he's had Alzheimer's for 7.
But I think he certainly was still performing despite having Alzheimer's.
Right. But what an incredible talent. What a wonderful life.
Yeah, absolutely. So much fun. And honestly, you know, I'm more of a metalhead, so I appreciate the thought of Tony Bennett more than, but I remember, you know, growing up and my parents and grandparents, you know, listening to all the Italians, you know, they love this.
Of course. Yeah. As I say, the Italian connection is strong.
Big time.
All right. Well, I also realized I forgot to add Wisconsin questions to this. So we're gonna have a five question quiz this week, which is fine. And if I can come up with one on the spot, maybe we'll do it because this is clearly a very serious quiz.
Oh yes.
With very high stakes.
A lot on the line here, Dom.
So basically we go through there's multiple choice questions of headlines from this week, so maybe some more obscure
than. Do I need a pencil?
You do not need a pencil.
There's a worksheet where you can work out the calculation.
And because you're the guest, you get to decide if you want to go first or second.
I will go second. I'll defer to Jane.
All right.
Okay.
Jane, ahead of the World Cup, many women's soccer players have been afflicted by which injury? A, a sprained ankle. B, concussion. C, ACL tear. 4, turf toe.
I'll go with C.
Ding, ding, ding.
Really?
You got it right. ACL.
That was a complete guess.
I like how that you've added some sound effects.
It only took me a year.
Can I get an Oogle
I guess
horn,
we
please?
Also, yeah, we'll come back to that in a second. All right, Dominic.
Yes.
GOP presidential hopeful North Dakota Governor Doug Burgum is using which gimmick to try and get enough donations to secure a spot on the debate stage? Is it A, raffling off front row tickets to Messi's first Inter-Miami game? B, giving backers a 10% cut of the donations they bring in. C, offering a chance to win a personal shout out from the debate stage. Or D, handing donors $20 gift cards.
$20 gift cards.
It is indeed.
Yeah,
is that legal?
That sounds, no. That sounds not legal.
Like electioneering, doesn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
Well, there's,
I guess it's just donations. It's not votes.
Right. It's not votes. So you can do what you want. All you got to do, because you got to get on the stage, right? That's what. Right.
Yeah,
cares
you
got
to get enough donations to get on the stage. But that is.
That sounds really on the line there.
It also feels like if you can't get the reason that the barrier to entry is there is to prove that you have enough support.
Or money.
To be legitimate.
And if you got enough money, you can get the support. You can buy your support, literally.
Yeah, and so the fact that it feels like this is not a good start for you, Doug. Well,
and it sounds very apropos to the GOP mega. I mean, that's how they do it, right? It's capitalism.
Yeah, because I feel like when the Senate race last year... Steven Alacara, he by the skin of his teeth got enough, whatever the barrier to entry was, at the last minute
to get on,
got on the stage, and he did a great job.
He did.
All right, number three, Jane. Which university announced this week that it will end legacy admissions? Is it A, Vanderbilt, B, Wesleyan, C, Columbia, D, Notre Dame?
It is Vanderbilt.
It is not.
Oh, rats.
Wesleyan.
Ah. Oh.
All right.
I was so confident.
You were really confident.
Rats.
How are rich white kids going to get into school now, man?
I mean, they still got tutors. They still got SAT prep classes. They'll be fine.
They're going to go by the content of their character, I guess.
Absolutely.
Right?
All right, Dom. A North Carolina teen was allegedly detained for buying a multi-stop airline ticket with no intention of using both segments. What's this money-saving hack called? So do you know what this is?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So is it A, trip bagging, B, stop flagging, Z, zigzagging, or D, skip lagging?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, come on. D.
Good job.
Yeah, right.
It is D.
Yes, I was
not aware. There's actually a website. I think it's skiplagging.com that multiple airlines have sued because it helps you navigate where you actually want to go.
Oh, wow.
And it will find you a two-way flight or a flight that has a layover in that city. But they've been sued. And one they settled and one got dismissed.
Wow.
But there's
who cares? If they're buying the ticket and you don't use it on the way back, I mean, why do
money,
they
money, baby.
Oh, come on.
Dom
is leading 2-1.
Uh-oh, pressure's on, Jane.
I know.
Okay. If you tie this, then I have an idea for the last question. But all right, Jane. SAG-AFTRA issued a new warning to which performers that they would be ineligible for future membership if they work during the current strike. Voice actors, influencers, stand-up comedians, reality TV stars.
I think it's reality TV.
It's actually influencers.
Rats! Boy, I suck today.
You don't suck. Now, don't stop talking about my friend like that. But it is influencers. It's basically, and I know this because I spent enough of my life on TikTok.
Right.
There's a lot of people who make the living helping to promote movies.
Sure.
And they're not performers. But a lot of them, I think, eventually would like to be in SAG or something or writers or in the WGA. And that's been a big topic on TikTok this week as far as are you a scab if you continue to have brand deals? And pretty much the SAG came out and said yes. Like, if you ever want to be part of this union,
are
do
the
not
influencers
do this.
Now, are they already part of the union, or are these influencers that are not part,
they're
of, the
not
union
part
that
of the union
at some point in the future may want to be?
Yeah, I think it's potentially want to be, but also just it's still a business of relationships. Yeah. And if on the other side of this, but the conversation around if you do anything to help promote movies for struck companies, you are a scab.
Plain
and simple. All right. Well, you're down 2-1.
I know. This is not
a 3-1. Did you get two or two
I got
right?
Two. Yeah. I got two. Yes.
You got one right?
I got one right.
All right. I'm going to come up with one on the spot and we'll just do.
So we got a minute left.
All right. Minute left. How much did Ron Johnson getting paid back for his own money?
It was $480,000.
Yeah, $400,000 is what I recall.
I think it was $400,000. Yeah, you're both right.
Okay, we're both.
Well, that's what we know of, and that's the start. You know,
that
what
is
I mean,
the start.
We'll see. He put a lot of money in. He's got a lot of money coming.
He's got a lot of money.
He already got the money, and then he came out with a statement like, "I'm not expecting to get anything." After he already cashed the check 2 weeks before. I mean, come on, Ron.
All right. Well, Dom. This is as fun as I thought it would be.
Oh,
thank
yay.
You so much for coming in.
My pleasure.
It's so fun to
thank
always
you
have you here.
Me.
I'm sure when I'm on maternity leave, Jane might call you in to, as backup once
for
or twice
sure.
to have some fun with her.
Jane, I'm here for you, girl.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Professor Greg Nemeth is going to be here to talk about policies to influence us to buy electric cars. And I actually am thinking about if I should make the jump, but it's also a jump in price. So finding the justification of that. All right. Stick around. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
You don't know me well. Tony, thanks for the cheer. I hope you don't mind me bending your...
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us. Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.